The Chumash tells us that in order to determine whether any given fish is kosher, we have to check to see whether that fish has a snapir v'kaskesis, whether it has fins and scales. The halacha says that even one scale is sufficient to establish that the fish is a kosher species. The Shulchan Aruch quotes opinions who insist that if any given fish only has one scale, it has to be located in a specific part of the body of the fish. However, the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch explain that this is not really because if the scale is in the wrong location, the fish is not a kosher species, but rather because we are concerned maybe we put two fish, one on top of the other, and a scale rubbed off from one fish to the other. But if you know that any given fish has fins and it has one scale that grew on its own skin, this is sufficient to establish that that fish is kosher. Even though with respect to eating kosher birds, the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch quotes Rashi's commentary on the Gemara Chulin, where Rashi recommends that we should insist on having a masora, a tradition that this particular bird is kosher, and not to rely on the simonim, not to rely on the different simonim that the Talmud develops, that the Mishnah has and the Gemara has, to establish that a bird is a kosher species. But nonetheless, the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch point out, with respect to fish, we have no such chumrah, we have no such minig, no masora is needed. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of types of fish, and no masora is needed. So as long as you have any fish in the world that has a fin and it has one scale, this is sufficient to establish that that fish is a kosher species. There are many different types of tuna fish, but the only three that are packaged for human consumption are albacore, skipjack, and yellowfin. And it has been established many, many times that all of these species of the tuna fish, the albacore, the skipjack, and the yellowfin, all have fins and scales. The commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch quote from the Rambams in the Sefer HaMitzvahs and the Sefer HaChinuch as well, that before one is interested in eating a fish, there is a mitzvah to be bodek the simanim, a mitzvah to check that that particular fish has fins and scales. So some have raised the objection that these fish that are packaged in Puerto Rico are packaged in the Pacific islands. All of the work is done by Nachrim. So where is one in fulfillment of the mitzvah bedikas simanim? This mitzvah bedikas simanim is explained by the Minchas Chinuch in his commentary on the Sefer HaChinuch. What it means is, even if your fish, even if in truth it turns out that the fish that you ate had fins and scales, but because you didn't check in advance to see if it has the fins and scales, you violated this mitzvah bedikas simanim. So here, no one's being bedik the simanim. So the Darkei Tshuva by the Munkacher writes in his commentary on the Yoredeya, on the Shulchan Aruch, that this is a mistake. There is no such thing that there's a mitzvah to be bedik the simanim, even if you know that the fish is kosher. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, as well as the Sefer HaChinuch, write that the same is true. There is a mitzvah to be bodek the simanim of any given animal to see if it's malager, mafis parsa, if it has split hoofs, and if it chews its cud before you eat that given animal. So does the shechet who slaughters calves or sheep or cows, does the shechet always check to see if the animal has split hoofs? He says he never checks. So what happened to the mitzvah b'dikas simanim? So the answer is, if I have a tviya sign, if I recognize that this is a sheep and this is a cow and this is a goat, and I know already that sheep and cows and goats have malagera mafris parasa, I know that they have simanim. So then there's no need for the mitzvah b'dikas simanim. B'dikas simanim is only applicable, the mitzvah only applies in a situation where I don't know what the species is. So then you have to be bodek simanim to make sure that this is a kosher min. But if I know that this is an albacore, a skipjack, and a yellowfin, and I know that they all have fins and scales, all of these three types of tuna fish have fins and scales, then there's no longer a mitzvah bodekas simanim. And he proves that it must be the case. Number one, as we mentioned, that's the common practice. The shechet doesn't check every time he slaughters a sheep or a goat or a cow to see whether it has split hoofs. He knows that the b'tviya sign, he recognizes the type of the animal. And he says, number two, the Talmud tells us that fish that shed their scales in the water, and when I pull the fish out of the water, it doesn't have any scales at all, such a fish is kosher. So I wasn't bodek simanim. Or the Talmud says, if you have fish that you catch when they're young, and they don't develop the scales until they would be another few weeks old or another few months old. So even though they don't yet have scales, or even though they've already lost their scales a week ago or a month ago, you're allowed to eat that type of fish. But what happened to the mitzvah b'dikas simonim? So obviously, the mitzvah doesn't apply. If you have a tvi'as ayin, you can recognize the species of the fish, and I've already established that this particular species has fins and scales, so there's no mitzvah b'dikas simonim. The question is, though, how do we know that this is albacore, skipjack, and yellowfin? So again, don't you have to have Eidechodem and Bisurim? When I open up the can of fish, it just says on the label. But I can't tell by looking, by eating the fish, by tasting the fish, eating the fish, looking at the fish. I can't tell that it's one of these three types. So the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, it's interesting, both Rabbi Yosef Karo and the Ramo wrote commentaries on the tour. Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote the Beis Yosef, and the Ramo wrote for the Ashkenazim, the Darkei Moshe. Both Rabbi Yosef Karo and the Ramo quote the same statement from the Tosfos Rid in his commentary on Maseches Avodah Zarah, where he writes specifically about tuna fish, that if you have a non-Jewish firm, a non-Jewish location, well, all of the workers are not Jewish, and they tell us that they only deal in tuna fish, and that all of their tuna fish, and we know that all the tuna fish that they deal in, this specific species, has fins and scales. So he says that Tosfos Rid, quoted by both Rabbi Yosef Karo and the Ramo, they both quote him as saying that if we have an umdina achazoke, that this company, this factory, only deals with these kosher fish, we have the right to rely on this. And this is based on a passage in the Talmud. The Ramo, after he saw that Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote this extensive commentary on the Torah called the Beis Yosef, edited his commentary, the Darkei Moshe, and he didn't want to have duplication, so he left out whatever was already quoted in the Beis Yosef. So that's why when you look in our editions of the Torah, this quotation from the Tosfos Rid only appears in the Beis Yosef, does not appear any longer in our editions of the Darkei Moshe. But if you get the earlier edition of the Darkei Moshe, which is available in the new fancy Torah, they printed the Darkei Moshe Ha'oruch, the Shach every so often refers to the Darkei Moshe Horoch, which was the original edition of the Darkei Moshe. You'll see that the Ramo quotes the exact same Tosfos Rid, which was quoted by the Beis Yosef. And he's specifically talking about tuna fish, that if you have a non-Jewish firm and you know that all they deal with is tuna fish, so then we have the right to assume that that's the way they're continuing to function in their business. In fact, we wanted to find out how often does it happen that a non-kosher fish might possibly slip by in the processing of these tuna fish. So we were told that not only did the mashgichim and some of these fish factories, not only did they never find a non-kosher fish, not only did they never find a different species of a different type of a kosher fish, when the company was doing albacore, they never ever found a skipjack. When the company was doing skipjack, they never ever found a yellowfin for many, many, many years. And the reason being because each one of these species of the tuna fish has a different amount of time that it's cooked. One is cooked for 8.5 minutes, and one is cooked in 11 minutes, and one is cooked for 9 minutes. And the company, for their business purposes, doesn't want to mix the different fish together. Each one has a different flavor, and each one has a different process for cooking. So basically, we assume that when they're selling us albacore, they have checked it many times over. The sailors on the boat, if they're catching albacore, if they'll find any other fish, they'll throw them back into the ocean because they know they won't be able to get a customer when they come to the dry land. And then they check it again a second time before they're about to sell it when they reach dry land. And then when the company gets these fish, they check it several times. They check it over and over and over again to make sure that when they're doing albacore, it's only albacore. When they're doing yellowfin, it's only yellowfin, and so on. And we know that all of these species of fish have fins and scales, so therefore there's no issue of kashrus. There is, however, another issue of Bishul Akum. The Mishnah in Maseches Avodah Zarah records a very old gzera that was instituted by the Tanoim, that one is not permitted to eat Bishul Akum, macholim that were cooked by a nochri. The reason the Talmud gives for this prohibition is Mishum B'nai Sehem. We are concerned about the possibility of Nisuei Taruvis. And here the tuna fish is clearly Nisbashel by Nochrim in the factories. So the Chido in a Sefer on Yerideya, Birkei Yosef, quotes an opinion from the Achronim that since the whole prohibition is one is because we're concerned about his karvus to the nochri who is doing the bishul. So if the bishul is done in a very impersonal fashion, like over here, someone in Puerto Rico is working in a factory, or somebody in the Fiji Islands in the Pacific Ocean is working in a factory, I'll never find out who the person is. So since it's so impersonal, so it's far-fetched that this should possibly lead to Nisui Taruvis. What? I enjoy the Michael so much that I'll be interested in getting Abe Kekest, and I'll want Bedavke to search out that person for the purpose of Chasnus with his Mishpocha. This was an opinion that was quoted by the Chida, that whenever the Bishul is done in an extremely impersonal fashion, there's no prohibition of Bishulakum. So this basically is not the accepted opinion, but the classical poskim in Europe felt that one could be mitzarif different stodim lohokil to be mekel on bishulakum. So even though we wouldn't rely on this tzad lohokil alone, but bitzirif other tzadim lohokil, we would be mekel. And with respect to the tuna fish, there is another tzad lohokil, namely the practice in the companies that we give the hashgacha to is that the fish is prepared for eating. It's made edible by cooking it first with steam. And in fact, the mashgichim tell us that when they go to check in the factories, the workers in the factories will nibble on the fish. They'll eat a lot of the fish after it was steamed, before they put it in the cans. Then after they steam it with live steam, they put it in the cans with a broth, and then they cook these cans in water. So that when they cook it later in water, that's a real bishul. But that's not really for the purpose of making the tuna fish edible, to make it tasty. That's really for the purpose of killing all the bacteria so that the cans of tuna fish will have a longer shelf life and it won't get spoiled so quickly. So basically, this is called nechel kamoshu hu chai. If one should assume, this is a question, if one should assume that the gzera derabbanan, the prohibition against eating bishalakam, only applies if the food was cooked in a normal fashion, either cooked, fried, baked, and so on. But if the food was steamed, so the Shulchan Aruch quotes that the Talmud Yerushalmi has a suffix regarding ma'ushon, whether ma'ushon is dino ke mevushal or not. When the rabbis instituted the prohibition of bishalakum, does it even apply to food that was made edible by steam? So the Shulchan Aruch says that since this is an Ibaida Leibshita, a Safik in Yerushalmi, and the whole prohibition of Bishalakm is only with the Rabbanan, so we go Lakula on this. So there is a dispute among the later Poskim, the recent Poskim from the last 50 years, whether this Kula in Shulchan Aruch, that the prohibition of Bishalakm only does not apply if the food was steamed, if the food was prepared for eating by steaming, does that only apply if you're dealing with dry steam or even if you're dealing with moist steam? Over here, the tuna fish is cooked with moist steam. That makes it edible. So there are many poskim who say, Chacham Avad Yosef and many other poskim, that even if it's moist steam, there's no prohibition of bishalakim at all. And even though there are those who disagree and say that it's only mutter, the Shulchan Aruch only paskin mutter if it's dry steam, not if it's moist steam. But here, since we have the other tzad lahokel, namely that the cooking is done in such an impersonal fashion that it'll take me forever to find out who the cook was all the way on the other side of the world, paskin write that if you have a tziruf of these two svaris lahokel, even though one would not rely on either tzad lahokel alone, namely the mu'ushan of the moist steam and the impersonal nature of the cooking, but with the combination, the tziruf of the both tzdodim lahokil, we would assume that there's no prohibition of bishalakum here. So again, the tzad lahokil here is that the Talmud tells us that if you have a food that can be eaten raw, let's say you have apples can be eaten raw, or pears can be eaten raw, or in America, people eat carrots raw. So even if it's cooked by a nochri, there's no prohibition of bishalakum, because whenever the food is nechel kmo shu chai, so then the chachamim didn't introduce gzera bishalakum. So here too, even though we wouldn't eat raw tuna fish, but the workers in the plant, everybody eats the tuna fish after it had the steaming with the moist steam. So if we if one should assume, like those poskim, that mu'ushon is mutter and bishalakim even includes where the situation where you are using moist steam, so then later on when, so there's no bishalakim yet, then later on, even though they cook the cans of tuna fish with the broth, with the water mamish, and that's mevushal, the tuna fish is cooked in the broth, that's mevushal b'mayim. But that's called nechel kamo shuchai. We could have eaten the tuna fish, and in fact, the workers in the plant did eat the tuna fish before they did that bishul in the cans. So these are the various issues involved in giving the hechsher on the tuna fish. And the position of the Orthodox Union is based on the psak of Rav Soloveitchik that this canned tuna fish is mutter.